Oh, Lord, let us pray. I hit my funny bone on the doorknob on that last shot. I was just like, at that moment where I was just like, that was a heart check on what came out. Oh, but seriously, let's pray, because I need to pray after that. I can't really start before we do that. God, thank you so much, God, for the blessing of being here this morning. God, thank you that we do get to worship Jesus Messiah. God, thank you that there's so much, God, that you give us that we don't either deserve. We can't earn it. God, thank you that this morning, as you've already opened our hearts in worship, God, the things that you've done, that you, in the Bible, where you've shown us, as Dale preached a couple weeks ago about, God, how you just split the seas, Lord, so that we could walk on dry ground. God, there's so much that you move and you do and you allow in our lives, God. God, you give us a great time, Lord, just to have fun and laugh together as a family, but also to be in your word. So, Lord, be with us this morning as we're in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm actually going to be, a couple of weeks ago when Dale did preach, he talked about Moses and the children of Israel, that they went across on dry ground as God literally parted the waters in the Red Sea. And I want to actually go a little bit beyond that this morning, but consider that as we're doing it. I've been studying the life of Joshua lately. We'll actually be talking about Joshua again next Sunday when we're in here together to worship. I would encourage you to reach out to those that are on vacation that you know and you're usually in church with. Encourage them. Tell them that you missed them and that you'd love to see them back next week. Do want to mention to you this morning, before I do get started, we had a chance to pray over a lot of seniors that just graduated. A big group of them met this morning. They had really big smiles on their faces because they're driving off today to go to the beach. Their parents were signing up for counseling appointments this week and for free hugs and all that kind of stuff. But if you would please be in prayer, especially over the next few hours, for their safety as they drive. And then also this week, we ask that God guard their decisions and guard their hearts as they're down there. We want them to have a fun week of a lot of memories. We just don't want, as I told them out there, I said, I just don't want you to regret any of them. I want you to have a great week and enjoy this celebration that God's given you in your life. Before I get going, it's good to see Nathan and Tiffany are here this morning. They just had a little girl named Natalie. She's very cute. I'm just letting you know they're here. She's really, really still very newborn. You can shake Nathan's hand, but he's going to be guarding the baby, all right? So it's still early, right? We got to protect the young babies and keep them healthy, so wish them well and pray for them. There's a funeral that's going to be this coming Saturday, and we as a church are going to provide a meal, whichever side of that funeral service that the family would like it on. If you would be willing to help contribute food to that, the individual that passed away this week, he did not attend our church regularly. However, his two kids, his ex-wife do, and they're great here. I've known them for a long, long time, and we want to do this as a church. A lot of us will be there at the service, but if you can provide some food, if you will see Vic after the service, he's going to be out here in the lobby. If you'd be willing to help us out with that, and we're going to get all that stuff together this week once we get final details on everything. Please see Vic. If you go looking for me, I've actually got my nephew's graduation at the Coliseum at 1 o'clock today, so I will be loving you, but I will be driving faster away from here than you probably will be. So I got to get my kids set and all that kind of stuff. So if you will, please see Vic. But please be in prayer for that family this week, and if you will, please. Also, this Sunday is Baptism Sunday. If you have not signed up yet, do need you to sign up today if you're interested. Even if you just want to talk about it, you're still not completely sure, but you want to be on the radar there of what we're going to do. You may say, well, you know, I really want to follow Jesus and get baptized. I'd love to get baptized, but I just, you know, it's kind of the saying of, you say, well, you know, Derek, I just don't know. I don't really know you that well. I don't know if I want you to baptize me. That's fine. That's no problem. Really, honestly, if we do baptism right and if we're doing ministry right as a church, I'll be baptizing the least number of people here that will all be part of baptisms for people that we share Christ with and as we maybe have been an influence in their life. If there's somebody that you has been a great spiritual influence to you, maybe they led you to Christ. Maybe they've really helped you in your walk. And you would like them to be here to baptize you. That would be fantastic. We'd love to do that. We'd love to accommodate that. We just need to make sure that we're ready for it. So if you will, just let us know this week if you haven't signed up that you'd like to meet. Like I said, we're going to be talking about Joshua. Joshua has a long history with the children of Israel. God used Joshua in a lot of great ways. If you're an Elvis fan, you've heard Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho. He sang that song, and once Elvis sings a song, you can never hear that song again without hearing Elvis's voice. So if you've ever heard that song, that's a story out of the Bible. Joshua was a great leader. But Joshua, like most of us, had this period of time in his life where he kind of needed that pep talk from God. He needed God to kind of put his arm around him and say, look, we need to talk about some things. I need you to understand some things so you can be ready to go and serve me. We've been talking about over the last several weeks, and we haven't really, I wouldn't say that we've really just intentionally made it a specific series, but what we've been talking through is this idea, and this is going to be on the screen. I'm going to actually read this statement because we've made it a few times, that our life is less about destinations and it's more about the journey that we're on. Growing in our walk with Christ is a day-to-day thing. And we have some things that feel like destinations in our life, but if we live for destinations, then all we're doing is just trying to kind of make it to that finish line. When in reality, from the moment we accept Jesus as Savior, the only real true finish line is heaven in eternity, and then that is the longest finish line that we could ever possibly imagine or describe. So really, we're supposed to be moving in our Christian life. And when we feel stagnant, when we feel still and we don't see movement, is when we as Christians, we get frustrated because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, doesn't want us to stay the same. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be challenged in the way we think. And He wants us to be developed in how we understand God and how we use that understanding to reach people and disciple people and to grow ourselves. And the Holy Spirit is inside of us to not allow us to be happy when we're living in sin. And He's there to allow us to be frustrated when we're not growing in Christ. Before we get into this passage, I want to kind of make sure that we understand something. Because what I said about where Dale was preaching out of is a really key part of understanding with Joshua how things got going. In this time period, if we kind of put our arms on either side of it, We've got two crossings of a body of water for the nation of Israel. Sometimes we highlight Moses and when he went across the Red Sea. But when they went across the Red Sea, they didn't really have a great understanding of God yet. And they weren't ready to serve Him and fully devote their lives to Him. And they had to go through this season of wandering in what the Bible calls the wilderness. And it's this period of time in their life where they were really a stuck group of people. They were there developing a better understanding of God, and some of the people that were really honestly holding them down, it was a period of culling out some of those people. And as their lives passed, God was able to continue to raise new leaders and to grow people spiritually until they were ready to step into the promised land. Now, I want you to kind of look at this as an illustration this morning, and I want you to kind of put a little bit of a physical illustration of this, because this is kind of how it is. I want to kind of consider this aisleway here, as we're looking at it, as the parting of the Red Sea. This is the crossing that was with the Red Sea. So this will be representative in this area of the time where the nation of Israel was in Egypt, and they were living there as slaves. Which really, we're going to talk about kind of the spiritual look at this. So this is kind of Egypt here. This is the crossing. This is the wilderness. You all are the wanderers and the stuck people. Congratulations. This is kind of the time in between. We're also going to be talking today about this next crossing, which was way more significant spiritually from the standpoint of growth. Because this was more rescue, this was more decision, and where they had grown to. This crossing led them to what the Bible calls in the Old Testament the Promised Land. Now, the Promised Land was kind of this idea in their minds, this dream that when they were there, and for us, sometimes we want something to have a very specific picture and location, and we forget that sometimes what God is just calling us to is something, as it says in this chapter, you've never seen before. And that's one of the biggest things that I struggle with, because honestly, in my mind, I think, well, I've got to see where I'm headed. But the Bible says that God told these people, He says, look, I'm preparing you for something you've never seen before. So if I can't imagine it, then I've just got to be able to trust God and what He's preparing me for. For most of us, we would probably say that we really didn't have a clue that we would be where we are 5 years ago, right? for some of us, we didn't have a clue where we would be 5 weeks ago. I said this, I've been here for 6 months. If you go back 7 months, I couldn't have described to you in any kind of detail what January through the beginning of June would have been like. Actually, I'm sorry, that's 5 months. I'm adding some time. I'm feeling old. I couldn't have told you what exactly this would have been like. But now I can look back and see what that crossing meant and how God was preparing me for something that I had not seen yet. Well, here's the thing. Spiritually speaking, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, again, when you study the Old Testament, you look at the Bible, it is Jesus from cover to cover. And if you miss that Jesus is cover to cover, then you're really shortchanging what your understanding of Scripture is. We can really appreciate it because of the times that we live in. We live after Jesus' sacrifice, His death, burial, resurrection. So really, from the standpoint of us applying this, it's like Egypt represented the time of sin and separation from God. Y'all are sin. Good job. All right, so glad y'all showed up today because we needed some sin. Incorrect. So this is it. The miraculous rescue would be like our salvation through Jesus Christ. Their rescue was salvation. That, as Dale said, take your first step. Spiritually, there is no more beginning steps than our first step into salvation. I still remember a missions trip that I went on down towards, we stayed at the beach, but we actually did our ministry in Georgetown in South Carolina. And we were in this community, and I still remember what one lady said to me for 4 straight days. Me and 2 students went and talked to her for probably 30 minutes for 4 straight days. And every day she said the same thing. She said, I know the gospel. She repeated the gospel to us before we ever shared it. She was accurate. And she said, I know the gospel. I know who Jesus is. I know what salvation is. She said, and I will do that when I can get my life to where I think it should be. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. We'll never be where we should be. It's that first step into salvation that brings us into a relationship with Jesus that makes everything else possible. But here's what happens. They came out of rescue and ended up in this area that they call the wilderness, this middle ground. And see, here's the thing about this wilderness. They had to grow and they had to go through this process because when someone gets saved, they aren't ready to be a Jesus Olympian. We have to grow spiritually. We should grow spiritually. You'll meet people in your lifetime that got saved and nothing ever changed beyond that beginning relationship. That's a sad thing. But when we get saved, that's why I've counseled people sometimes, and they'll talk about, I'll talk to a guy this week, and he hasn't been saved long, and he told me, he said, I'm really trying to find this balance about, you know, how much time and how involved I can be with friends that I used to have, that we had some similar addictions and stuff like that, and how much time that I need to spend away from them. I said, bro, let me help you out with something. I said, I'm not trying to say don't love those people, but you better start loving them more from a distance as you're a new Christian to start to grow to be able to handle some of those temptations. Because right now, I said, how are you handling those temptations? He looked at me and said, not good. Right? Sometimes we think foolishly that when we get saved, oh, I'm not going to be tempted anymore. Fat chance. Right? We're going to be tempted. Sometimes we have brand new temptations. We had no idea that they were there until we got saved and Satan wanted to attack us. But then there's this place that Joshua comes to right now, which is not an initial relationship, but is a choice and a time that if we're ready for, we can begin to make that crossing spiritually to really discover things that we could not imagine, but ultimately where it is that God's taken us. And I want to talk to you about a few of those. And I'll be honest with you, I mean, the spirit that just I could feel from God and worship and just and what we did. I may not finish this because we may decide to end the service in a different way. But we're going to start this this morning. Okay, we're going to be in Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to read a few verses and we're going to go through a few points that will be up on the screen just as some notes and some things to think about. But I want to get this started and this kind of initial pep talk that Joshua and God have. In Joshua chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 5 through 7. And this is part of God's pep talk with Joshua because Joshua was in relationship with him. He had been stuck in the wilderness and God was ready to move him. It says this, verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to the fathers, their fathers, to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. The first thing I want to look at this morning is this. Growing in Christ isn't about what you act like, it's about who you become. See, four times in this first chapter, Joshua hears the message, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. He was not being told, hey, for the moment that's ahead of you right now, you need to suck it up. You need to be a little tougher. It wasn't, hey, you need to act courageous in front of these people that you're going to lead, even though you don't know anything about what you're getting ready to do. What God was trying to put into his heart was this. Joshua, you've been in the wilderness. You've had a chance to grow and experience me. You should not just have to act courageous. You should be courageous. You know, there's a lot that we can act like. Some days I battle. You just watch the video with me, right? Y'all just witness that. Some days I probably act a little bit more like a pastor. You know, you come in the room, you meet somebody. I've been in a few graduations, and I've had people introduce me. Hey, this is our pastor. And I'm sitting there in my mind, the first time, I'm like, they knew who I was. They're sitting there, oh, this is the pastor, right? And I'm sitting there going, the whole time, I'm already like making plans in my head for something like that. And I'm going, y'all have no idea what, y'all think this is just some holy dude, and he has just got it all together. And that makes sense to me, right? I can act like a pastor. God hasn't called me to act like a pastor. He's called me to be a pastor. Which means, if I'm honest with myself, it means that I have to look at my life and say, okay, if I'm up here on a regular basis preaching out of God's Word, then the Bible says that I'm more accountable. So if I don't get my act right and get my sin gone and start to figure out how I should live, and I don't become that, then I'm a hypocrite in front of the person that matters most, which is Jesus Christ. When somebody says that there's hypocrites in church, I don't really care. It's the bigger sin in my heart, in my mind, is not me being a hypocrite in front of somebody. It's me being a hypocrite in front of Jesus. Because he's the one that saved me. He's the one that's called me to grow spiritually. You know, again, in our life, it's who we become. The fruit of the Spirit that is talked about in Galatians, where it says this is the stuff that's supposed to come out of our lives. Stuff that's real and just happens. It just pours out of us. It's not something we got to throw together and fake it. Who's got a room in your house that you throw everything in before somebody's getting ready to come over? Real quick, just raise your hand. Anybody? All right, everybody, hands down. Who for you, as an adult, it's your room? It's mine. It's the best thing about a split bedroom. If you're looking for a house, buy a split bedroom plan. Have a bedroom right off the living room. That's our bedroom. It's just like, you better not walk in front of that door because you get hit by something. Somebody says, hey, I'm going to stop by and drop off something. Oh, my gosh. I found my kids in there a couple days later. I didn't even know I put them in there, right? So you got to, but that's the thing. We're not called as Christians to just kind of make it look clean. We're called to be clean. And basically, God's sitting here saying, look, Joshua, I love you enough to not sit here and just kind of keep messing around with you. If you're going to get out of this wilderness and you're going to cross something that's even greater, maybe than that first step, then you got to do this. Don't act like a leader, be a leader. Don't act like a God follower, be a God follower. Don't act like you know, do something with what you know. It says in James 1:22, it's our theme verse for our kids camp this year. Don't just be someone that listens to God's Word, be someone that does it. That's what we want to do. The second thing is this, Joshua discovered real consistency as part of his journey to the promised land. See, Joshua, in the experience of the children of Israel, think about this for a second. You know, Dale did a great job of describing what this scene looked like. It says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. These are people that were just insane in their hatred with chariots, just, rolling as fast as they could towards this body of water, no doubt to just push the children of Israel and kill them, drown them, something. And then all of a sudden, God, in the miraculous way that did not make sense, it's not what they deserved, just like salvation through Jesus Christ, right? How wide did the waters open up? I don't know. It might have been a mile wide, or it might have been however wide Jesus spread his arms apart on the cross. I don't know what the width was. I just know that when the waters opened up, it was a miraculous moment of rescue, just like my salvation that I experienced when I decided to follow Jesus Christ. And when they forced the children of Israel across, and these were not, this is not a group of 35. This was not a small group. This was a couple of million probably. And as they crossed on dry land, as they were being pushed across, some of them probably more in fear than true understanding of what God was doing, because if we're all honest, you know, those of us that got saved maybe before the age of 12 or 13, you know, some of us sat under ministries and under sermons that maybe scared us more about hell than it did endear us to heaven. And for some of these people, this was just about this moment of rescue. But as they just rushed through this place, were they consistent during that moment of rescue? No, they were just trying to get on the other side. They didn't need to be consistent. They just needed to be in another place. But in this middle ground is where they really struggle with this idea of consistency. What became consistent in Joshua's life? Well, first thing, listen, I told you four times you hear the message, be strong and courageous. God said it the first three times. The people echoed it back to Joshua the last time. You know what I figured out in my life? When my life is really consistent, if I really am aware of what God's Word says, then the people that are also trying to be spiritually aware of what God's doing in their life, they'll echo back the same thing. They'll be in a point of agreement. Sometimes as Christians, we have to realize if our lives and what we're doing, if we know to be it what God wants us to be, and it comes into conflict with other people, we need to understand that that's a maturing step that God's giving us to allow us to see that. If we're in a moment of real serious, I know I'm short. You may hit, would this help, right? I'm sorry. When we're in a moment of real decision, right, and we don't know what to do, and we're trying to figure something out, and we need to know an answer. I can't do that a lot of times because these pants are tight. But we're in that moment where we've really got to know something. I had my phone in it earlier, and you could see the exact dimensions of the phone. I was like, it was all I could do this morning. When we're in a moment of decision, we've really got to decide something, right? There's nothing worse than knowing in the back of our minds and in our hearts what God's Word tells us, but yet hearing from people that we're close to something totally opposite, that's actually pushing us away from what God's Word says. Number one, when consistency became real consistency, hearts started lining up with God, then what Joshua heard from God, he also heard from people that also listened to God. And that helps. Being around those people that know God's heart the way you know God's heart is a step of maturity when it comes to how we live. The other thing it says here in this passage, in these few verses, is God told Joshua, he said, I want you to follow my word. He says, I don't want you to depart either to the right or to the left. You know, sometimes as a Christian, when we're immature as a Christian, We're trying to follow God, but then all of a sudden, it's kind of like this moment where, like, if I could just take a quick left turn for a second or a quick right turn for a second and just kind of take a break, kind of get off the exit for a second and kind of get a breather, because this is getting, like, really hard. I'm really starting to struggle with what I need to do right now. We'd like to just kind of take a little bit of break from the exit. Or sometimes, as Christians, we think we're following God, but we get on some crazy extremes, right? I mean, some of the most extreme people I know on this earth are people that profess to follow Jesus. You know, some of us get hung up on so many things that are just not important. You ever had that argument with somebody spiritually? Like, they start asking you about your church, not about Jesus, but about your church. And they want to know, like, what you do, what people look like, what they wear, like, what they read, what, you know, they want to know all these things. And you're sitting there going, just sometimes, if you're talking to that person, you're having a conversation, just go, hey, can I just hang on 1 second? Get out a pen, a piece of paper, and just start writing down all the things they ask. And they ask you to say, well, why are you making that list? Well, on this side of the page, I'm writing down all the things that don't matter. And on the other side, whenever you're done, I'm going to start writing down all the things that do. And then just write Jesus' name and just make your point that way. But God says here to Joshua, he says, look, when you get spiritually mature, you'll start to see yourself growing spiritually and staying on that path. Now, are we going to be perfect as Christians? No. No. But don't worry, I'm not going to talk about all your sins this morning because I don't want to air all mine. But we'll see more of a consistent. We'll see a real, true measure of growth. But ultimately, here's what I want you to think about. Yes, did they feel stuck? Did they feel a little bit homeless in this area? Yes. But they also lived there for 40 years. I don't care how bad your circumstances are. At 40 years, you'll get comfortable even in bad circumstances. If we stay around sin long enough, we'll get comfortable in sin, even though we shouldn't be comfortable in sin. What God was calling Joshua to at this moment, think about this for a second. He said, look, yes, I rescued you, but I'm calling you to a different crossing right now. You followed me in those first steps, and then we had to begin this process, this journey together. Well, now we're over here, and there's some places that you can't imagine. There's some things that you can't foresee right now. You know, maybe, you know, in relationships, we feel stuck for years and years and years, and sometimes we really wonder, God, is there a promised land of a good relationship? Is there a promised land of my kids obeying me and my spouse? Is there a promised land of a little bit of financial break? Is there a promised land of just getting rid of some of this depression that I've carried for so long and I can't get away from it? Is there a promised land for what I'm going through? Well, in chapter 3, I want you to flip over there for just a minute. In chapter 3, I'm going to read some of this. I'm probably just going to read a decent little bit of scripture here for just a second. Verse 1 in chapter 3, it says, then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out for Shittim. And whoever listens to this online, I didn't cuss. We went through this a few months ago. This is your first time visiting. I'll explain later. At least give me a chance to explain later. And don't say that city's name just to cover it up on the ball field or wherever you're at. Oh, no, we're not going to do it. We have a softball tournament next weekend. Nobody's allowed to use that word. Is it on the screen? Okay, good, because I was like, oh, if it's not on the screen, they don't believe me. All right. And they came to the Jordan, and he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And at the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priest, then you shall set... Then you shall set... Set is not a word. Set out is a word. Is it hot in here to anybody but me? No, it's not. We're gonna put a pause. We got a church app. Now these things are expected to go online. This is bad. Some of y'all have decided to come for the last time today. I'm sorry. From your place and follow it, yet there shall be a distance between you and it about 2,000 cubits. That's about, I think if I remember right, looking at that, it was about 900 yards, I think, or 900 meters or something like that in length. Do not come near it in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. If you go down to verse 7, it says, the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priest who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. And Joshua said to the people of Israel, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, that he will without fail drive out all will drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Thank you. I went to seminary. Just kidding. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan. Verse 14. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests, bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water. Now the Jordan had overflowed all of its banks throughout the time of the harvest. The waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam flowing down towards the Sea of Araba, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off, and the people passed over opposite Jericho. Verse 17 says, "Now the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all of Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan." Now, for some of you, you may have just totally missed all that. But I want to sum it up in just kind of four statements of what sometimes happens in this next move that we make as believers with Jesus. And these four kind of basic steps are going to be summed up. Now, this is not a very accurate sum up as far as all the details go, but I want you to go with me on this, okay? Point number three is this. God leads us. God lifts us up. We get wet and He dries us off. I want you to think about this with me. This crossing for the children of Israel was this moment of rescue, this beginning, this getting away from sin and slavery, who we are not any longer because of who God is. This is our salvation in this crossing that we make in life. And then we enter into this period of time in our life to where God has got to start growing us, and we have to start working through some of the questions that we have about God and who God is and the frustrations and all that stuff. But then as we work through some of that stuff and we grow spiritually with God, then God gets us to points where He says, okay, now I have something new for you to do. I have another place for you to cross. God led them to that point. Why was it important that the ark was out in front of them? So they could clearly see that was their physical image of God. That's what that represented, His presence there. And He says, look, don't get too close. Just watch where God is leading you. For most of us, it would really do us well to understand that before we leave something somewhere or someone in our life, we need to pause until we know where God is leading us. The last church I was at, I was there for a really, really, really long time. Long time. And there were times while there, honestly, I thought, God, I feel like it's time to move. I feel like it's time to go. Years back when I was, when Wendy and I were there, it was a time where we were looking for a pastor. And I got angry. I got frustrated. And I even got frustrated at God because He wouldn't give me the freedom to just leave and go somewhere else. And you know, early last year, for the first time, God gave me liberty to say, I'm going to move you. You're going to go somewhere else. And you know, since then, I talk to friends I've got at that church, and they tell me about some of the hard times they've had and experienced and some of the stuff like that. And my heart breaks. My heart really does. But here's the thing. God gave me the liberty to go. So is my heart compassionate? Yes. But is my heart grieved? No, because I know that I'm where God wants me to be. You know, and for us, if we rush and go where God is not leading, we'll only end up being at a new frustrating place. Right? Is that? Okay, maybe that's not for you. That just landed with somebody, hopefully. So it was there in front of them so that they could lead. But then there's this point where we get to and say, but, you know, so you mean they had to go out there? They had to go out there and get wet and get in the water before anything happened? Yes. Because what Joshua told the people is, he said, look, what's getting ready to happen is going to be proof to you that what is ahead can also be conquered by God too. See, if you haven't figured it out, Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith it's impossible to please God. This life of pleasing God is simply a series of steps where He builds confidence in us for what He does at the moment, for what's coming ahead of us. And all these people that He gave them this list of, He said, this will show you that surely God will take care of all of this, because He's going to take care of this right now. But see, here's the key. This time there was nobody behind them pushing them. If I could, look, if this is all it was to it as pastor, if I could just go up and be like, hey, man, this is Daniel. I love Daniel. Daniel, guess what? Hey, man, I'm going to sign you up for discipleship classes. Be here Tuesday. I'd be at all of your houses. It'd be easy. I'm not called to force you into anything. It's not my job as a pastor. My job as a pastor is not to push you anywhere. It's to preach the Word of God. Here's the thing. God didn't send anybody to push him. God didn't push him. He simply said, I'm giving you an invitation to come on because I think you're ready. You know what they could have done? They could have sat there with their arms crossed. They could have. Would God have been God? Absolutely. Would God have loved them? Yes. Would he have provided for their needs? Yep, because he's God. He can't not be God. It's kind of this clause in the contract, I think, right? All right, we're going to try this one more time with the tight pants. But he didn't push them. He simply said, look, here's your opportunity. And I wonder what they thought. I said, man, we've heard about this thing where God parted the waters and he allowed us just to run through. Those guys getting pretty close to that water. They're getting in the water and it ain't moved yet. Not a bit. But when they stepped in the water and they got their feet in there, then all of a sudden it says that God, and he didn't, this time it's clear in here, he didn't stop the waters. He didn't push the waters back like right on either side of them. He went like two cities away with the water. I don't know if this is a sense of humor thing with God. Just sometimes he's like, I just really want to prove myself to you, and I just really want to kind of get you a little bit scared, a little bit nervous before I just suck the water back away from you. And all of a sudden it says when they were fully in there and the people were watching, and they were, so here's the thing, they weren't watching sitting down. They had already packed up. They had already committed to move. And then when they were standing in there, God started pulling water back with the current. You ever felt water rush by you? You ever heard the sound of water rushing? Not waves, but I'm talking about rushing water. So here's the awesome part. Most of the time when we're used to hearing rushing water, it's coming towards us. God allowed them for a minute to hear it going away from them. Just as a reminder to say, you know what? That's the sound of me taking care of your problems. That's the sound of following me. Not rushing towards you, but rushing away. That's a unique sound. And they stood there. It said that they stood there until everybody passed. God was in front of them to lead them. And in the middle of it, he made sure that he was right there beside them and let them get on the other side, and then he just went right with them. It also said this, to Joshua, God said a few things. He said, be strong and courageous. You know, Joshua was already the leader. I don't think he needed anybody to tell him what he should be. I think that was God's opportunity just to get in Joshua's ear, like he was trying to get into the ears and the hearts of the people that were there, just to let him know exactly what he wanted him to be. Then he said this. He said, Joshua, today I'm going to begin to really lift you up in the eyes of the people so that they know that just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Some of us may doubt that we can do what we've seen other people do, or that God will continue to be God now like he was God then. For some of us, we need to just personally know what God needs us to be. Strong and courageous didn't have anything to do with Joshua's leadership. It was just what God wanted Joshua to be. Because Joshua didn't just have a group of people in front of him. He also had a family at home. We're going to talk about that next week. He also probably had, obviously, some insecurities and how other people viewed him. Probably because he had been in the wilderness the entire time. He was one of two people left. Sometimes, just like Joshua, we get more concerned about what somebody else is going to say about us than just simply doing what God wants us to do. I've talked to people before that say, you know what, I didn't want to come forward because I didn't know what anybody would think. People that have been at the end of their life that I've heard say, I knew I needed to give my life to Jesus, but for so many years, people probably thought I'd already had. Before I left my last church, I got to baptize my mom because she had never followed Jesus in baptism. And she said to me, she said, well, I don't know what to do. She said, surely everybody just assumes I've already been baptized. I said, Mom, I love you, but are you following them? Are you following Jesus?
It's really just simple. God is content to split whatever sea is in front of us. For some of us, it's salvation and rescue. But for some of us, and probably more of us than others in this room, it's that bigger step into spiritual maturity and growth, and just completely going where God wants us to go, because He's grown us to go there. And it's time for us to take those steps together. This is what God has called us to do. Now is when God has called us to do it. As the praise band comes back up, would you just stay seated where you are? Would you just bow your heads with me just for a second? You know, today, it kind of landed in my brain this morning, in my heart, as I was upstairs for a few minutes just sitting at my desk up there, that the only time that God had the people of Israel, the children of Israel, His people, the only time He had them stay where they were is when they were going through a process of growth. But when they've grown, He called them to move. And when they needed to go into a process of growth, He called them to move into that area. So I thought, okay, God, so right now, You're either calling me to move somewhere because of what You've done in my life or what You've called me to, or You're calling me to grow right where You have me for the moment. But He does not call us to do nothing. Because even when we're still, we're supposed to be growing. My question just for you is if we're in the landscape of what the children of Israel are in, just where do each of us land? Where do we need to be? Where do we need to be moving? I want to offer to you, if rescue, if salvation is where God wants you to move into that relationship with Him, to be able to begin growing. Because not to crush any imaginations here, but we can't grow spiritually until we have the Spirit of God in us. So without salvation, we can take good notes and we can hear some decent messages and we can raise our hands in worship, but nothing's real true growth like Joshua experienced. So my invitation to you would be to do this simply. Understand that Jesus Christ died to be able to pay for your sin. The Bible says that if you believe in Jesus and confess Him as Lord, that you have given your life to Him and He is in control. And it says confess, pray to Him, to ask to be saved. The Bible says for those that call on the name of Jesus to be saved are saved. And God has declared you righteous and holy. You may not feel like it, but just don't worry about it. Let Him work on your heart in that area. If you feel like you've just been stuck for a while, consider this. How do I need to grow? What needs to change? What misconception and misunderstanding of God do I have that He wants to change right now? What does He want me to experience and live through and have Him provide for me so that as I grow, He can move me? Not move you from this church. He's going to keep you here forever. But move to a place and a position and a moment to be used by Him. And if you've been growing, if you've seen that growth in your life and you know that there's something greater, you need to do more and be more and serve more, whatever that is, please don't be scared to take that step. Because God knew exactly what Joshua needed and He's just aware of you. We're going to worship right now. What song are we going to do in worship? Lord, I need You. We're going to worship right now. If this time is a time that you'd like to come up front and pray at this altar, you want to move towards the altar, there'll be people here to pray with you. This is a great song for this moment. Lord, I need You. After we pray, we're going to give, we're going to celebrate, we're going to go on about our day. God's call on your life does not end in this place. We take it with us where we go. So let's do with it what He wants us to do right now. God, thank You so much Lord, help us to move where you lead. Help us to grow where you have us. Help us to clearly understand, God, what you want us to do in our life at this moment for Jesus Christ. If it's to give our life to him and be saved, God, help us to come forward for salvation, to pray that prayer, to let me know, God, so that we can follow up and we can share and encourage, God. I pray that no one here would just simply pray that prayer and be silent over it, but they would share it so that we could celebrate with them, encourage them in prayer, and give them tools to begin discipleship. God, I pray that if we're here and we're saved this morning, God, that we won't not grow. We won't stay in the same place, but God, we'll do exactly what you're called us to do. So in this moment, God, help us to reflect what your word has called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.